you were supposed to bring a screen. Where are you going to show that?
I'd like to call this meeting to order. Requirements of the Open Public Meeting Law, PL 1975, Chapter 231, have been satisfied and that adequate notice of this meeting has been published in the Star Gazette and posted on the bulletin board at Borough Hall, stating the time, place, and purpose of the meeting as required by law. Would you all please rise and join me in saluting the flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I have two proclamations here. Oh, I'm sorry, yes, roll call. I always forget that.
Leva?
Here.
Healy?
Here.
Donald?
Here.
Valentine?
Here.
Boyle?
Here.
I have two proclamations here, one of which is going to the fire department. So, Chief Klausfelder, would you like to come up and stand with me as I read the proclamation?
You weren't expecting this, right?
No, not at all.
Okay. We have a proclamation from the Borough of Washington, where the Washington Borough Volunteer Fire Department had a need to replace a 1975 MAC aerial scope. And whereas Washington Borough Volunteer Fire Department, through careful use and maintenance, was able to have the existing apparatus in service for all these years, and whereas the Washington Borough Volunteer Fire Department notified the Borough of Washington of the funding opportunities through FEMA for the purchase of a new 95-foot mid-mount aerial platform fire truck, and whereas the Borough of Washington Fire Department applied for and received a grant from FEMA in the amount of $375,000 needed to offset the purchase of replacement aerial truck. And be it proclaimed, the governing body of the Borough of Washington would like to formally thank the Washington Borough Volunteer Fire Department for their efforts in obtaining these funds to offset the cost of the replacement apparatus. And be it further proclaimed that this proclamation be duly embossed, signed by the mayor, publicly presented to Chief Kurt Klausfelder on March 16, 2010, and forever recorded in the official records of the Borough of Washington as an everlasting tribute to the Washington Borough Volunteer Fire Department by an appreciative and thankful community. Presented the 16th day of March, 2010, signed Scott McDonald, Mayor.
Thank you.
Do you have anybody here from the Shade Tree Committee tonight? Okay, I will just read this one. Proclamation of the Borough of Washington. Whereas in 1872, J. Sterling Morton proposed to the Nebraska Board of Agriculture that a special day be set aside for the planting of trees, and wherein this holiday, called Arbor Day, was first observed with the planting of more than 1 million trees in Nebraska, and whereas Arbor Day is observed throughout the nation and the world, and whereas trees can reduce the erosion of our precious topsoil by wind and water, cut heating and cooling costs, moderate the temperature, clean the air, produce oxygen, and provide habitat for wildlife, and whereas trees are a renewable resource giving us paper, wood for our homes, fuel for our fires, and countless other wood products, and whereas trees in the borough increase property values, enhance the economic vitality of business areas, and beautify our community, and whereas trees, wherever they're planted, are a source of joy and spiritual renewal. And now, therefore, I, Scott McDonald, Mayor of the Borough of Washington, do hereby proclaim Friday, April 30th, 2010, as Arbor Day. In the Borough of Washington, I urge all citizens to support efforts to protect our trees and woodlands, to support our borough's rural forestry program, and further, I urge all citizens to plant trees to gladden hearts and promote the well-being of present and future generations. Dated the 16th day, March, 2010.
Okay, next up we have Ms. Toria Williams from Sustainable Jersey here. She's going to make a presentation. Sustainable Jersey is an organization that produces, that promotes the reduction of greenhouse gases, and their system arranges for grants, low interest loans, and things like that to promote energy efficiency in schools, municipal buildings, businesses, and homes. Ms. Williams.
Thank you.
Did everybody see that okay? We need to dim any lights or anything?
Hi, everybody. My name is Toria Williams, and I work for the Jersey Clean Energy Program.
Thank you very much for inviting me here, and I'm excited about sharing some information about some clean energy programs that we have, and I think the residents here in Washington will be able to participate and benefit from some of the statewide programs that we have. Community partners, and we are part of New Jersey Clean Energy. And Community Partners Program focuses on residential. We have a commercial industrial end, and we have a renewable part to community partners. But tonight I'm going to talk about the residential end. And the Community Partners Program was created so that we have a forum so that we can pass this information along to the resident organizations. We even are going into faith-based organizations, nonprofits. So we're widening the scope of organizations that we're trying to spread the word about our program. Last year, 2009, we started an incentive program, and as a community partner, there are up to $4,000 worth of incentives that the community or organization will receive by being a community partner. Last year, 2009, we put a face to the program. The difficulty in the past has always been, how do we get this information out to the residents? And that has been the biggest challenge that we've had. So now we've created a position, and we go all over the state of New Jersey, and we try to engage communities, organizations, once again, to get involved and get signed up and really get some of the money that's out there. I just want to go and make sure that we are getting all the information. As a community partner, I want to just go over very briefly some of the programs, some of the incentives that are associated with the programs, and some of the money and the rebates that residents will receive back. Our first program that we have, Green New Jersey Resource Team event. If you have an event with one of our Green New Jersey Resource Teams, the community partner will receive $200 by just simply calling up one of our Green New Jersey Resource Teams, having them at the event, providing free CSL. We have one Green New Jersey Resource Team that will sell discounted CSLs and lighting fixtures. So if you're involved in an organization and you want to further your clean energy commitment and communication throughout the community, this will be a great start. Then we have Energy Star products. And Energy Star products, and let me just stop and say that I'm going to provide, I have brochures. I can leave some brochures here and make sure that they're readily available. We have an 866 New Jersey Smart number that we encourage everybody to call, talk to one of the folks that will answer the phone, answer any questions, go into detail about any of the programs. Or we even encourage you to go into our website where we give you detailed information about all of our programs. So we have Energy Star products. And this particular program, if you have 50 online applications, you'll receive $300. And again, the program will receive $300. Right now, the rebates that are available are the clothes washer, which is $75, dehumidifiers, which is $50 that you'll receive back. So as a resident, this is available, money is available. All you have to do is provide your receipt, send in the information, and you'll receive a check back from the state. But the organization that is a community partner will receive $300 if you get 50 people referred, just to say that they're interested in perhaps purchasing a clothes washer or a dehumidifier. They don't actually have to purchase it, but we would encourage them to, and for it to be an Energy Star efficient product. Then we have our Warm and Cool Advantage. Then we have our Warm and Cool Advantage program. And we need 100 applications referred for that particular program. And the Warm and Cool Advantage program are for your larger appliances, your central air conditioning, your water heater, your water heater boilers, and you can receive up to $400 depending on the size of the unit. And again, if you're in, you know, looking for any upgrades within your home, there are, again, $400 worth of rebates available. The organization receives $200 for having 100 people referred to this program. And I'll talk a little bit about the referral process, what the community can do to kind of get the referrals, which are necessary to receive the incentive. Then we have the Home Performance with Energy Star. You need 100 audits referred for this program, and the organization community will receive $800. And this particular program that we have is really probably our most stellar program. For $125, we will come into your home. We will do an energy assessment on your home. That would be tier one. Tier two would be that we would come back to your home and provide $1,000 worth of air sealing treatment to your home. Tier three would be any upgrades, any recommendations from the home energy audit that was performed in tier one. So this is a great program. We also have great financing that the state has just offered to BPU Board of Public Utilities, 0% financing for 10 years of the loan. And there are many incentives associated with upgrading appliances within your home. So you can get like almost 50% off of what the total cost of the upgrade will be. And then the other remaining 50% balance, you can have that on finance with our 0% financing. And all the contractors that come into your home and that will conduct the energy audit, they're BPI certified. So they have to go through a stringent training and, they're recommended, they're on our website, a whole list of contractors that have been certified. So you don't have to go to the yellow pages. You can go right to our website and you can see the certified contractors that are available and trained that can conduct this energy audit. Then we have our newest refrigerator freezer recycling program. All you need is 20 units referred for this, and the organization or community will receive $300. This was just increased. It was increased from $30 that the resident will receive if you allow it to come into your home and remove a old refrigerator freezer, the one that's maybe in the basement or the garage. This year, 2010, we've increased it to $50. So the only thing that we ask is that it is in one in working condition, and two, we have a clear pathway where we can remove the refrigerator or freezer. So you can have two units, a refrigerator and or freezer, and you'll receive $50 for each unit. And you just have to simply give a call, set up an appointment, and they will come in and they'll remove it for you, and you'll receive a check. I've heard like between 60 and 90 days you'll receive the check for allowing them to remove it for you. The next one is the Renewable Energy Investment Program. If you have a wind ordinance passed, and this may be the right body to pass it, you'll receive $500. And on our website, we have a template that explains exactly what the municipality has to do in order to have a wind ordinance passed. So we'll give you step-by-step procedures, what the state is requiring. If you have it passed, you receive $500. Then we have the New Jersey Energy Star program, where this is, if you have 10 units referred, you'll receive $300, and having a building permit. This is for new construction, as well as New Jersey Energy Star Climate Choice Home. The difference between the two, Climate Choice Home, that the Climate Choice Home has solar installation, solar panels installed in new construction. So for the 10 units referred, you'll receive $300. Again, we need a building permit. All we have to do is see the building permit, give us a copy of it, and the CPI community partner, the organization or municipality will receive $300. For the Energy Star Climate Choice Home, you'll receive $1,000 for having this one building permit just copied and faxed into it. And the neat thing about this is that the body, whoever it is, the community partner, Washington Township here, they will not have to follow the builder. We take care of all that. All you have to do is provide the building permit.
If I may interrupt you for a moment, we're Washington Borough. Washington Township surrounds us.
Washington Borough. I apologize.
No problem. It's a common mistake.
I apologize. People have been shocked for for that. Okay, forgive me, please. Forgive me. And thank you for correcting me. It seems like I'm all over the place sometimes. But I'm here with everyone tonight. I just want to go over Sustainable Jersey. We just partnered with Sustainable Jersey, which has been fantastic for us. It's been fantastic in the sense that we are able to increase our community partners. We are able to help communities and municipalities gain additional certification points for signing up as a community partner. We're also able to penetrate a lot of the communities that we haven't been able to find before, or really that were interested in clean energy. But now that they are part of Sustainable Jersey, if they join us, they get additional points as well as up to $4,000 worth of incentives. And you are now certified?
Not as of this moment.
But we're working on it?
You're here to help convince council that this is someplace we need to go.
Okay. Well, I hope I'm helping, but I just wanted to show some of the points and some of the incentives associated with being part of Sustainable Jersey as well as being a community partner. So I've just given just a brief chart of all the incentives as well as the Sustainable Jersey points. So there's 10 points for each, completing each program. Part of my job also is to help with community outreach, is to help you with getting your referrals. And the referral process is very, very simple. So if you have an event that's coming up, you have an online process, or we have cards that we can fill out. And all you do is just have your green team or your environmental commission team or a group of volunteers that would be willing to collect these referrals. And simply, we just need telephone number, name, telephone number, an email address, and if they're willing, give us a home address. And so we're just collecting the referrals. People just may be interested in some of our programs. Whether they go ahead and follow through with any of the programs, it's not contingent upon receiving the incentive. You will also receive the Sustainable Jersey points, whether they go ahead with the program following through with purchasing the Energy Star products, or if they have the Home Performance with Energy Star program. So we just need to work at getting some of the points and then getting the incentives together. So right now, it's just Janita Ortiz and myself that we're doing this. So what we do, we go and we train environmental commissions and the volunteers on how to take ownership in collecting the referrals, getting the information that we need in order to provide the incentives for you. We also provide communication and marketing updates and support. If you have press releases for your local newspaper, we help with that also. We have a marketing group that will help with logos and links. And so if you really want to do some promoting, some PR behind some event, getting people a little excited about this coming and signing up for the referral process, we will help with the training of volunteers for that too. So that's a big part of really what it is that I do. I come in and I help communities just make sure that their clean energy efforts are supported by the state. And that would be about it.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
At this point, does council have any questions for Ms. Williams? Mr. Boyle.
Thank you, Ms. Williams.
You two just go ahead and ask your questions. I can't see you right now.
I thought I saw on the township's website about the refrigerator freezers. The other municipality that's next door to us?
No, we won't name it, but okay.
Okay.
Yeah. No names mentioned.
It was on their website, so uh-huh. I thought that was pretty cool. Let me ask you this. Is there any out-of-pocket to the municipality to join this?
Absolutely not.
Nothing there. Okay.
All we need for you to do is sign a simple application, and the application will give us a name of who we, the Community Partners Initiative, can contact for updates and things of that sort. What your clean energy outcome is, or really what your outlook is for the community, what you want to do, and how we can help. And if you have any upcoming event, us getting a community partner there.
Okay. The other question I have is the monies that are received from the state, are they earmarked where the monies must go towards with the incentive program that I saw?
All the incentive programs, it's been budgeted for 2010.
But I understood that the when you reach some of these goals that the state gives monies back to the community, are they earmarked, are they controlled by state where they have to go, how they are to be used?
As long as they meet the requirements, which is fulfilling the referrals, the number of referrals that are necessary, then you will receive the amount of money associated with that program.
Okay.
Now he's asking, do we have to use that, when we get that money, can we do whatever we want with that money, or say we have to put it towards our Shade Tree Commission?
We have no input on what you do with the money that you receive from community partners. Our hope is that you will put it back into whatever clean energy efforts that you have through, you know, for your community. But no, we have no say-so.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
I have, we are actually having an event coming up in the borough here in April. Sandy, is it what, April?
No, I was just getting ready 2 days from my
okay. Sandy Sereni is the head of our bid project here.
Mm-hmm.
And her organization puts on all the events in the town. And you might want to hook up with her because we are having an event in April.
Okay.
Where we're going to have vendors and booths, and it's going to be a pretty, and it gets a couple thousand people to it.
Well, that sounds like
so
a great event.
It might be a great event for you to be part of, yeah.
Okay.
And that's the song I think we're going to revise the Go Green State again, too. So that's on July 10th in coordination with the tractor shop. So we'll talk about that this week.
Yeah.
Okay.
We
one
also
of the things on the application, once I receive the application, I'll see a list of all of the events that,
mm-hmm.
that you have available. And then what we can do is then if I have a contact, I can give the contact a phone call, and we can talk about what we can do to support the outreach efforts. Getting a Green New Jersey resource team seems like it's going to be a huge event. I would always suggest having two of them there. So that one is just not overwhelmed, and you can
mm-hmm.
put them at different parts of the park or maybe putting them together. But making sure your residents get the free CFL.
If you can see them, they also go off on calendar events and curious to which ones and the size. And
well, you have your business card, right, Ms. Williams?
I do.
You
I have plenty of them.
You could give that to Ms. Cerami also.
Okay, I definitely will before I leave.
Councilman Cioni, you had a question?
Well, we also have a, I believe it's April 24th, the community gardens opening.
Wow.
Yes. We're doing this is the first year we're doing a community garden. So I think that would be something that would be interesting to attend. I can give you more information on that as soon as I get your business card.
Okay, great.
The other thing I wanted to ask, this program, is it more geared specifically towards residents, or is it also open to the municipality to take advantage of the funds that might be available?
We do have a program underneath our commercial and our industrial program. But tonight I just talked about the community partners, which focuses solely on residential. But we do have a local government energy audit program. And so being certified underneath Sustainable Jersey, you will receive points for that also. But there are all kind of rebates and incentives associated with our program for local government, school systems, and we'll do.
Right. We also have our superintendent of schools here and one of the vice principals, and we also have somebody from one of our largest employers here, BASF. You know, he's here also, so I'm sure that he would be interested in some of the industrial portions of it.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, from my perspective, from the municipal side, I would love to see, like, the ability to get an energy audit of this building. We have downtown lighting that I would like to see eventually swapped out for LED lighting because it's a lot more energy efficient, but that's very costly, so we don't have the capital money to do that, so we would look for any way that the state can help us with that.
And that would be TRC, which is my counterpart. I work for Honeywell. I'm the market manager for the residential and renewable.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have TRC that focuses on commercial and industrial, and local government would fall right underneath that umbrella. And I can provide that information.
That would be great if you could do that.
Yeah,
thank
absolutely.
You.
Absolutely.
Any other questions from council?
If we could maybe also put like a link or something on the website.
Ooh, if we join, yeah.
Yeah,
sure.
Absolutely.
And we can make that all available. So whatever upgrades that you want to do, whatever anything that you need from the BPU or New Jersey Clean Energy, we can provide that, you know, so that you can further your messaging. So we can definitely provide that.
Is there anyone from the audience who would have any questions for Ms. Williams? Yes, ma'am.
Just a I know of two situations where supervisors have all insulated and all tightened up, mm-hmm. and as soon as they get insulated, there's no good. And that, in combination, presents a very bad situation.
Absolutely. Did they have their insulation, was it with the Home Performance with Energy Star program?
It was with some program.
Okay, because with our program, one of the things, before they do any insulation, they make sure that there are no safety hazards. So they're going to make sure that, you know, there's no electrical, and if they are, sealing up your house as tight as possible so that you can have, you can be as efficient as you can. They're going to make sure that there are no safety issues. So, there's, you know, they're going to check the carbon and the whole nine yards, and they're not going to move forward until any safety issues have been addressed, and the resident will be responsible for that. But they'll come back and they'll just continue any other upgrades that you have okay. But that $1,000 installation of wind air sealing treatment to your home, they won't do that until they make sure that everything is safe also. You're right, that's a big problem. You make everything nice and tight, and then
yeah.
you have a lot of leakage.
Yeah.
Any other questions for Ms. Williams from the audience?
I'll leave my business card. I realize I would encourage everybody to go to our website. We have a lot of great information. And for the residents, there's, you know, a lot of money out there. Also for municipalities, there's a lot of money. And if there's any way that I can help get you to that point or get you to that contact person, that's what I'm here for. And I'm more than willing to help out any way I can.
And perhaps you would like to just kind of park out in the hole for a little bit for anybody who might want to ask you any specific questions?
Absolutely, yep.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen of the council, would you like to go forward with Sustainable Jersey? Would you like to spend a little time thinking about it? Any thoughts?
Well, Ms. Williams, the answer is no out-of-pocket money for a municipality. Would we have to designate a coordinator from the government or the municipality for this?
There would be
contact
a green,
person.
There
or?
Would be some kind of a green team, correct? That would
but
be
it would
necessary?
Be
to receive your certification points for Sustainable Jersey. Yes, you do have to have a green team. But the neat thing about being a community partner, I mean, even if you start with one or two people volunteers, we can start off that way to be a community partner. Then if you want to become certified with Sustainable Jersey, yes, then that's one of the requirements you have to have.
And there would have to be a particular contact person.
Right, well,
obviously.
But does it have to be someone on this governing body, or can it just be a citizen volunteer?
It could be a volunteer, as I understand it, correct? Yes.
Absolutely.
If you want it to work, they don't need us.
Just need your blessing.
That's true. I think it's a great idea.
I think we should go forward.
Is that a motion?
Yes.
Well, yes, it was. Maybe not professional, but it was.
Okay, a new second. Mm-hmm. Any other discussion on going forward with applying for Sustainable Jersey status? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Are there any opposed? Are there any abstentions? Thank you very much. Do you have a copy of the application with you?
I sure do.
If you could leave that with us, I would surely appreciate it. Okay, next on our agenda we have some minutes of February 16th and March 2nd.
I'll move the minutes from February 16th.
A second.
Okay, is there any discussion on the minutes of February 16th? Okay, I just have one. Mr. Kresser?
Yeah,
your name is in here, and it's spelled two different ways. Would you be so kind as to just spell your name, last name for me?
I'm one of the spell guys. K-R-E-S-S-E-R.
E-R. Thank you very much. Some copies, we have an L in them also. So I would just suggest that we make those changes. Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions?
Abstain.
The minutes of March 2nd.
I'll move the minutes of March 2nd.
Second.
Okay, any discussion on those? The only one I have is on page 18, the next to last paragraph. It is not Sustainable NJ, it's Sustainable Jersey. That's the only correction I see. Yes. I want to call it Sustainable New Jersey all the time, so that's probably where that came from. All righty. Next we have some correspondence.
Do we have to accept these?
Well, what we have is with the correspondence of
no,
the...
No, you made a change.
Oh, did we not? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstention? I'm going too fast for myself. There's too much coffee today. Then we go on to the correspondence. We have a correspondence from the Business Improvement District with the Mike Schmidt Memorial Car Show. We need to have a motion approving Sunday, June 13th as the rain date.
I'll move it.
I'll second it.
Okay, is there any discussion on that? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? I guess a motion to receive and file the other correspondence that we have.
Do we discuss the other correspondence?
We can, yes.
Yeah.
Right after we have the motion.
I'll make a motion.
Second.
To receive it.
Okay. What would you like to discuss, Mrs. Gleba?
The letter for the shared court services.
Yes.
Well, we are very pleased, I mean, to receive it, and they give... other recommendations or suggestions. Are we going to look into any of the things that she offered as possibilities? Could you also explain what's the difference between a shared service and as compared to us considering a joint municipal court? Like, why wouldn't we consider something like that then?
Well, let me go backwards on this a little bit. Friday was the first that I saw this letter. I made contact with Assemblyman Peterson's office, Assemblyman DeMeo's office, and Senator Doherty's office. I actually went over, I spoke with Ed Smith of Senator Doherty's office in regards to this. He asked for some of the paperwork that we had, which I provided to him. Assemblyman DeMeo also asked for that, which I believe the manager was going to provide to him, asking for their assistance to see if there's anything that they can do to help this move forward, with the service as it is provided. You know, part of the argument I made is Washington Borough Police, Oxford Police, Washington Township Police all go to that court. Township and the Oxford go to that court. Why shouldn't our officers also be going to that court? I also discussed the upgrades that would be necessary to the courtroom with the metal detectors and the bulletproof glass and the costs associated with that. Mr. Smith was not optimistic that there was much that he could do at that point due to the separation of the three branches of government, but he said he would speak with Senator Doherty about it, he would get with the two assemblymen and see if there was any way, shape, or form that they could find a way to push this forward and get it approved. Now, as far as the difference between a shared court and a joint court, Mr. Palin, Ms. Staple, perhaps one of you two could deal with that better.
The short version of a shared court is what this is. Multiple municipalities.
The microphone's not on.
Is the microphone turned?
Okay. It's just
recording. Can you turn the volume up a little bit? Down here someplace. Try now.
I'll speak up. The short version of it is that a shared court is multiple municipalities that use one central location. In this case, it was Mansfield, Washington Township, Oxford, shares Mansfield's location. Different set of books for each municipal court. In essence, you're centralized. A joint court is when multiple municipalities enter and create one court system that oversees different municipalities. So instead of having, as an example, a ticket book for Washington Township, Mansfield, and Oxford, all of those citations are kept tracked separately. Three sets of books. A joint court is one set of books that encompasses everybody. There are some subtle differences, and correct me if I'm wrong, my understanding is that when you have a joint court, you have no say over who the judge is. The judge gets appointed by the governor. Aside from that, the difference can be keeping track of revenue coming to the municipality. Because remember, there's only one set of books. So right now, if there's multiple towns, this ticket was written in this community, that's where the revenue goes. It's a little harder to keep track of. That's the main difference between the two.
Okay. Will you pursue any of the other?
I spoke with the lead entity, Mansfield Township, on Friday. He is reaching out to his governing body to see what they would like to pursue. I don't know if they want to be lead entity of a joint court or not. He has to run it by his governing body.
Mm-hmm.
The other alternative that was thrown
or even just ways of reducing our municipal court costs?
Well, reducing the municipal court costs is part of our budget process. We can control that. But the other alternative that was thrown about was one of the three municipalities, and he didn't know the legality of this, say Washington Township, Oxford, become a joint. And then that joint becomes part of the shared. Therefore, I don't know, that's what was brought up. I don't know if that's possible, but that's what they said they were going to look into.
Are there other towns maybe that we could do a shared one with? Or
Franklin was mentioned, I believe, by Ms. Calderon. It was also mentioned by Mr. Smith as a possibility. But again, that's where I made the argument, why should the former borough officers go to Franklin and everybody else goes to Mansfield?
Well, I guess because of the whole, you have too many already over there.
Yeah, so... But we're going to reach out to the surrounding communities to see if any other community is interested as well.
Okay.
In us participating. That's correct.
I mean, it's not a done deal. I mean, we're not dropping it.
It's strike one.
We're going to look into other things.
That's all. It's just strike one.
Strike one.
Okay. Any other discussion on this? Okay. All in favor of receiving and filing?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, at this point, I'd like to open up the audience portion for remarks, petitions, statements, and testimony for guests.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen.
Would you state your name and address for the record, please?
My name is Bob Smoller. I'm a taxpayer in Washington Borough on West Warren Street.
Thank you.
I'm a taxpayer in Washington Borough. I'll try talking loud. That wasn't my tap. My name is Bob Smoller. I'm a taxpayer in Washington Borough, and I'm coming here to ask again that our taxes not be raised, but I wanted to concentrate on one particular subject that I think is the most important. About a month ago, I came before this council and asked that something be done about the debt of Washington Borough. I'm very pleased to see from Express Times article today that the borough is considering refinancing its debt and understands that it's the number one issue in the borough is our gross debt of $27 million and our net debt of $11 million. And I understand that our gross debt, $27 million, is about a third, school, sewer, and basically general obligation bonds. I'm concerned about our tax rate, obviously, as I know you are also, since it's the second highest in Warren County after Belvedere. And basically the problem, I really am impressed by what was put on the Washington Borough website. I think this chart that's on the Washington Borough website kind of says exactly what I'm talking about. This is our debt, only concerning the general obligation bonds, about a third of our debt. Not the school, not the sewer, we're just talking about general obligation bonds.
I believe that's the debt service, correct? The payments.
Yes, principal and interest. And you can see here that there's a little bit here, and it just climbs up. I don't know if you can see that, but it just climbs up. And these are the years, and this is the amount of debt, and it increases. And there's a very excellent table that was also on the website. And I just wanted to, a few things about that table, and I looked at the annual debt statement, the amended one of 2008. And this really explains what's going on, what's on the website. And I just want to bring up just a few things. We had debt payments from between 2002 and 2007 of somewhere around $200,000 a year. And starting with 2009, And going until 2016, they're approaching about 600,000. And around 2019, they're close to a million. So obviously, there's our problem. There's the thing that we need to obviously focus on. So I'm not going to state a problem. I'm also going to state what I see as a potential solution. The use of what's called refunding bonds. Refunding bonds can be used for any indebtedness of the borough. They're like refinancing a mortgage at a lower interest. The CFO themselves can administer the bond sale. I would further recommend going to what's called a financial advisor. That's like the numbers guy, whereas the bond counsel is the legal side. The advisor could recommend wraparound debt in order to smooth out the payments over a greater number of years so that the payments are less each year. I would further recommend, based on the chart that's on the website, and again, financial advisor would do the best advising, this is just my own personal opinion. There's about 1.4 out of 2.4 million, there's about 1.4 million left on the general obligation bonds for 2001. And the annual payments of principal and interest is about 200,000. Now, if you were able to take that 1.4 million and stretch it out over, say, another 15 years, like the original bonds were, your payments would be less. I don't know what they would be, 50, 75, but at least they'd be much less. The general obligation bonds for 2008, they just started, and I do not know, because I simply have no way of knowing whether they're callable or not. They may not be callable for another 5 years. That would be something a financial advisor could tell you. But as soon as they are, if they could be put into some sort of refunding bonds, we could get the debt payments down, because you'll notice from the chart also, we're up to almost 1 million in debt payments, and it goes down to like 19,000 the next year. So obviously we have some room to stretch out there. But I noticed something, when the 2001 bonds are scheduled to be over with in 2016, the next year, and here's part of our problem, the 2008 bonds go to almost $800,000 principal and interest in 1 year. So you can see right there, you think you got rid of one bond, you think you're fine, and all of a sudden, the way they structured the bonds, so I don't know whether that's, as I see it, the number one problem. I don't know if we could sell any assets to reduce our debt. Maybe the community college would rather be closer here than Peaburn and buy our garage or something. I don't know. But I think I just want to say that I appreciate what was in the Star Ledger, that you are looking for solutions. And I think that's what we need to do. We need to look at solutions together. This debt took place way in the past, many years ago. And we want to look for solutions for our future. We may mortgage some of our future, but we want to make sure that we have a future as Washington Borough. And thank you very much for your kind attention.
And if I may address just a little bit of what you said.
Yes.
We do have some property that is in, what's with the lots? They're
non-conforming
lots, which means they're not large enough to build upon. We are making some offers to contiguous landowners to see if they would be interested in purchasing that property from us. You know, so there are little things like that that we are already investigating. Okay. I just wanted to let you know that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else? Mr. Kresser.
Mr. Kresser again. I'm calling Andy Norrell.
Please, if you would come up.
Too many people. I'll just yell. Number one, I'd like to thank, on a good note, thank the borough for over the weekend we had storm. I lost a tree, put the stuff out there, and they were quick to pick it up today. So kudos on the town. Thank you very much for doing that. Thank you for doing it. It was great. Really was. Number two, I was driving by the sewer treatment plant, and there was, I believe, three police cars. Is there any way to... We can't sell those, get rid of them. I don't know what's going on with that. That's revenue sitting there. We own them. They're not on the streets. We've got to be able to do something with that.
The cars are going to be sold, but I understand they're in such a state of disrepair that they cannot be, I don't think they can be sold as another moving vehicle.
Okay.
Again, it's a parts kind of thing, and Mr. Failey could address that a little more.
There's a whole list of items that... There's a whole list of items that we're going to be selling off, be it property and other additional assets. That's going to be some of them.
Can I ask how long those cars have been there?
That I couldn't say. They've been here before I have started,
okay.
So I don't know the answer.
So, I mean, this is something that we really need to really look at quickly.
Some of the ones that are in such disrepair that are literally just parts. We spoke about it, I guess maybe 2 months ago, that we're going to donate them to the fire academy for training purposes. For the ones that have zero value to them. No, again, for the ones that have no value, that are just literally parts.
Okay, thank you.
Is there anyone else? Mr. DeLelva.
Yes, Bob DeLelva, 86 West Stewart Street. You said there's a list of things that may be sold off. Can we get a copy of that list?
Sure. We have to, in order for us to get rid of that, yes. We have to pass an ordinance.
Okay.
We have to introduce an ordinance that has the list of everything that we're going to get rid of, what we're going to do with it. When the ordinance is introduced, the list will be attached to it.
So we probably should see that within a month or two or something.
That's my goal. That's my goal.
Thank you.
Anyone else? Hearing none, I would accept a motion to close the audience portion.
I move we close the audience portion.
Second.
Is there any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, now we have ordinances. We have Ordinance 3-2010 for introduction.
I'll move 3-2010 for introduction.
Second. Okay. Any discussion on this?
So just to be clear, police chief is coming out. Police chief is coming off.
Correct.
Correct?
The police chief is coming off. There are three part-time positions that are being created for the replacement of a full-time position. Since we don't have the part-time positions in the ordinance, we need to create them in order to hire the part-time employee. We only have full-time titles in the ordinance. Four of them, actually, are being done in that nature. The recreation ones previously were salaried employees that sometimes work very few hours. So what this does is this gives the option now of hiring a salaried employee, seasonal for recreation, or an hourly, depending on the need.
For a seasonal recreation, is there a limit on the amount of hours they can work?
That comes part of the budget process. That comes part of the budget process. If we know that an event needs someone there for 50 hours for the summer, that has to be accounted for during the recreation program budget process.
And then as far as the municipal recycling coordinator, do we not already have a person designated?
The person designated is no longer. It's been switched to somebody else. Now, what's happening is the state is now mandating that every municipality by 2011 have a municipal recycling coordinator. And surprise, surprise, the state's mandating you have this and the person needs to go through training.
Or if we don't,
who knows? My guess is, this is a new thing that the state mandated for December 31st, 2011. I can't force anybody to do this. I do have a volunteer who's volunteered to do this.
Didn't we have the municipal clerk named as the coordinator?
That's
that
correct.
For county, and this is a state?
No,
now?
Same thing.
Same thing.
One and the same. It's been named to someone else, another staff member.
Okay.
Who's decided to do this.
But why is this new?
The position is new in the ordinance. The position has always been around. There's no additional stipend for this position now. None whatsoever.
So
what we're doing is preparing in the event that the state says, okay, now in addition to being mandatory, like, because they force certain positions on us. We have certain positions that we have to have, whether we like it or not.
But prior to this mandate, it was just done as a part of their responsibilities?
I don't know when the clerk was appointed, so I couldn't say.
But I'm saying is part of the clerk's responsibilities, this happened to include recycling coordinator?
Yes.
So now this is in addition to, which is requiring some type of pay.
It's leaving the opportunity to pay in the future if the state mandates it. Right now, the person who's taking over these responsibilities is not receiving any additional funds. This is anticipation of the state changing the law.
Okay.
But the person who has taken over these duties is not receiving additional pay.
Thank you.
Okay, is there any other discussion? Can we have a roll call, please?
Yes.
Who?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Doyle?
Yeah.
Steve.
Sorry, he's not here.
Valentine.
Do you have a publication date for that?
Public hearing on ordinance will be April 20th. Advertising of public hearing will start again on April 1st.
I have a motion to approve that publication.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Okay, any discussion on the publication? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Next one, we have ordinance 4-2010. An ordinance to exceed the municipal budget appropriations limit and establish a cap bank.
I'll move ordinance 4-2010.
It's for introduction, correct, Mayor?
Yes.
For introduction.
Is there any discussion on this?
Yeah. Well, I believe last year we defeated this, correct?
That's correct.
And this allows the budget that hasn't been reviewed yet or introduced yet to increase spending by 2.5% to 3%, 3.5%?
Not to increase spending, no. What it allows is it allows the spending appropriation. No one except borough council can authorize spending. What this does is, by law, you can increase your expenditures by 2.5%. This year, we're less than 2.5%. on our expenditure side. By creating this ordinance, what it allows is the theory of going up to 3.5%. We are not budgeting that additional percentage. We're not spending that additional percentage. What that does is we can actually increase the amount that we spend each year in 2010 by $121,000. If we pass this ordinance, again, in no way are we spending that, but we get credit next year come budget time for authorizing the possibility of spending that but not spending it at all. We get a credit when we create our budget cap levy next year. You're allowed to do this with the prior 2 years budgets. As a result, this year's budget is created on a cap that was created 2 years ago. We get credit for money we didn't spend that we could have spent 2 years ago. By us not spending it, we get what's called a cap adjustment, a budget cap adjustment. All this does is give us protection in future years. It's an additional insurance policy for future years at no cost now, and under no circumstances are we budgeting additional expenditures.
Do they also call this a rainy day fund?
I've never heard this referred to as that.
So this is similar to extending a line of credit.
Not necessarily. The way it works is, and I actually brought up an example because I figured the question would come up. As an example, our spending cap in 2010 allows us to spend, say, $500,000 over last year's budget. But we only need to spend $400,000. So theoretically, we could spend $500,000, but we only actually spend $400,000. By us accounting for that extra $100,000 but not actually budgeting or spending it, we get credit when we do our budget cap calculation the following year. You're not raising this money.
So the credit bumps up the percentage or the dollar amount?
It bumps up the amount on the expenditure side of what we can or can't spend next year. That's
so
correct.
2.5%, let's say it goes to 3.5%.
Exactly. We may not need to do this next year. Last year, we didn't do it. So it's hurting us this year.
But this ordinance, Vic, is for 3.5%.
Yeah, I threw out the 2.5% number.
That's correct. Yeah.
I didn't understand the CFO's, the deferred school tax.
Oh, that's the next.
Am I jumping ahead?
Well, that's for the resolutions part.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah.
We'll get to that. I think that's all I had on that, Mayor. Thank you.
Is there any other discussion on this? The only comment that I had on it is the third, be it further ordained from the bottom, as be it further ordained that any. So we need to take out one of those that any.
The third?
Mm-hmm. That any,
oh,
that
oh,
any.
Okay. Any. We'll have it corrected for the adoption.
Sure.
What value is this setting the cap and getting the, what what is the purpose? Who gets the credit, and why is that important?
The purpose of this is to create this credit, if you will, for future years, so you, the amount that you appropriate to be spent, the state has two categories, and they call it a budget expenditure cap and a budget levy cap, and both of them have maxes that you can appropriate. Now, what happens is next year, if the state pension comes in and says, okay, by the way, we're increasing pension obligations by $200,000, we're still required to fit under next year's cap. But if something like that nature happens and I have extra cap money from prior years, I can offset that. The state has a calculation that you fill. They have a budget cap calculation spreadsheet that you get right from Trenton on their website. And you enter this information, and what this does is, in essence, this is appropriated money that's never spent, that's never raised, that's used for purposes of protecting us in the future. Every dollar that we can save now by using this cap, we don't have to raise in the future.
I understand that, but what, why would the state, does the state penalize us if we go, if, why did they do this? I mean, obviously nobody wants to.
Why did the state create the law? That I couldn't say. I mean, this is one of the local finance laws. How or why the rationale behind creating it, I couldn't say. That I don't know.
Okay, thank you.
Question.
Mr.
Gallaba. Question. Is it normal to pass the cap rate prior to knowing what the budget is, or is there a deadline on this thing that we have to do?
You have to introduce the cap rate prior to introducing your budget.
That's a regulation.
Correct. You have to do one before the other. Procedurally, you have to do one before the other.
And the cap rate comes first?
Yes. Introduction, not adoption. Introduction.
Okay.
And then typically what you do is you introduce the cap, introduce the budget, adopt the cap, adopt the budget.
And that's the process that you would normally go through here?
That's correct. Last year it wasn't done.
All right. Any other comments? Have a roll call, please.
Abstain.
Yes.
Donald?
Yes.
Boyle?
No.
Yes.
No, I think for intro it's just
application date.
Public hearing will be on April 20th.
Advertise
no public hearing and start
the
event on April 1st.
Okay,
somebody move that, please.
I'll move that date.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
Aye.
Any abstentions?
Abstain.
Next we have our reports.
I move we file our reports.
Second.
Is there any discussion on any of the reports?
Okay. I do, Mayor, thank you. I would like to ask, under the Zoning Code Enforcement Monthly Report, the month of February, we have logged in 71 summonses. That's the proper pronunciation. We didn't get hit with the snow in the street stuff yet?
Not all of them, no. A lot of the tickets have been issued, but they're staggered. They're not all in one court hearing.
Okay.
Remember, they may have all been issued in January or February, but they might not have a court date till March.
So then these numbers aren't really reflective of the month that they're issued. It's what is it then?
Well, no, this is the reflection of the month that it is issued. The revenue that comes in may not be reflective of the month that it's issued.
I thought there was over 200 summonses for the during the last snowstorm.
I don't know if there, I wasn't aware of 200. I was aware of that many parking tickets that were issued last month. I'm not aware of
200. But you told me it was 200.
I know he issued 100.
Parking tickets.
No,
overnight parking tickets. Over 100 were issued, according to my conversation with Chief.
Okay,
I'm not aware of 200 zoning, or rather, code enforcement tickets.
Never mind.
Any other discussion on any of our reports? Hearing none. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions?
Abstain.
Okay. Do we have any committee reports this evening?
I have a couple. Pat, you can go first.
All right, thank you. Yeah, Mayor, thanks very much. I had the Shared Services Committee at the Borough on March 4th, and also I had a streets committee meeting on March 10th here at the borough. I sent you the report for any typos or anything like that because you were involved there. What I have written down here for council is that we had the mayor and one resident in attendance for the shared services committee. We had a few questions that I have to get to Rich on so we can answer those. I'll give a copy of these to council since there has been no changes to this. We went over about what services that the borough has available, and we needed a list provided by the manager, and then the costs associated with the services to better understand the impact of the budget, things of that nature like that. County library program again, any available grants for shared services, things of that nature. We talked a little bit about the Shade Tree grant that was brought up before. What we're going to do from here on out is, unless we get more inquiries about shared services, we'll probably just correspond via email instead of holding a meeting. The Streets Committee, we didn't have any residents in attendance. The mayor and Councilman Higgins were in attendance. I didn't receive any inquiries by email, via email, or phone call, but I still brought up about the 2010-2011 winter snow removal plowing sowing program. I'm going to forward this to Rich. You know, we need to look in to the previously designated as non-borough and to determine ownership. If we cannot determine ownership, we have to look at then we have to maintain those streets as such. I'd like to have confirmation from Gephardt and Kiefert Law Firm about, this is in quotes, past practices, if there's anything that, you know, holds a borough responsible because of past practices that might have been, you know, in excess of 20 years. I'd like to get that answered. One of the main concerns is still about the repair and maintenance of roads. We are looking to get a priority list, looking at 5- and 10-year plan on the streets. I should say streets instead of roads. The one issue that we have coming up that's going to be before council is a Borough of Washington letterhead document from signed by a sitting borough manager years ago that the borough would always maintain this one particular road. Now, my argument on that would be this. I was in favor of that too. We spoke to the streets hockey committee, and we couldn't go on the pizza thing because it was a handshake deal. You know, if we had something in writing that the manager said, this is what we're going to do, no argument. This individual has something in writing from a manager saying this road will be maintained. I don't know how much Rich has been involved with that. I think he has. So, to me, I think that's pretty important. I'm talking about one particular area here. Again, I don't have any other dates set up until we get a lot more inquiries. But if, you know, I won't be stale on this. We'll keep going forward to try to get some of these issues resolved. As far as the overnight parking on the streets, man, that thing cleared up like that. I mean, holy God, that was pretty good. I'm not making fun of the people that were abusing that. But anyway, but now it's reared its ugly head again. You know, I went to work this morning and Grand Avenue was full. So, you know, I don't know if I should say what street it was.
I spoke with the chief and he said he's going to make it part of his normal routine.
Okay. May I ask a question, please, on that, if I may? When a resident comes to the borough hall and they're requesting a overnight on-street parking permit, okay, is that just automatically a yes?
No, okay. It's not. The way the ordinance is drafted, and I'm just paraphrasing, is if you have, say you have a three-car driveway and one car, you're supposed to park in the driveway before you park on the street.
Okay, so we would know that residence address, we would know if they have a garage or not?
Correct, because what they're supposed to do is they're supposed to send, when they apply for the permit, they have to depict where there's parking, where that type of thing, where the property is.
Okay, thank you very much. That's all I have, Mayor.
Ma'am, you had a question?
No, I was just going to tell him their parking tickets on Carlton Avenue. I saw them.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you.
Councilman Cioni.
Yeah, I have three committee updates. The website committee, We just recently, as early as today, posted two additional financial documents. The gentleman that was here earlier alluded to them on the financial page, the 2009 annual financial statement as well as the 2009 annual debt statements. They're on the website now for anybody to review. We're still working through the 2009 audit, and once that is certified, we will post that on the financial page as well. The goal, again, is to build as much financial documentation as we could possibly have and put it out there for everybody to see and pour through and basically keep us accountable. The second committee that I chair is the Pocket Park Committee. I have an update on that. Reached out to the bid director, Sandy Cerami, and she responded to me via email today regarding the status of the cleanup of the Pocket Park. Just for those that don't know, there was some site remediation that has to happen at that piece of property. The cost estimates varied, but it was several thousand dollars. So I'll read Sandy's email verbatim to me that I received today. The property owners are open to reducing the purchase price or actually paying for the remediation up to a limited dollar amount. They will be investigating their options with LSRP, which is the properly environmentally licensed consultants, contractors, and will get back to us, us being the bid. The bid still has open grant applications into a private foundation. Awards expected by March 25th and is now in the process of identifying and seeking additional grant funding. So as of now, we're in a holding pattern because we're not going to take possession of a contaminated site. So if the site is remediated by the property owners at that time, we'll either have to amend our initial agreement and probably move forward with the project. But as of now, I can't give you a better update to that. Once the site is remediated, then I probably would have a better timeline as far as when all of that would happen. The third committee that I chair is the Finance Committee, and this has pretty much been, you know, we haven't met very much. There was a council changeover, and so we reformed the committee at the last reorg meeting. So I have an idea for what I want to do with the Finance Committee, at least initially. One of the ideas I came up with was to create a top 20 list of questions that whether it's people on council have or people in the, you know, the citizens have regarding the financial status of the borough. And these could be questions related to the budget, sewer, past budgets, current budget. You know, like example would be, why is my sewer rate going up $7? Like, that's a good question type of thing. So what I would do is we'll compile the list. The Finance Committee would compile a list, probably scale it down to a reasonable top 20 or something like that. Present those questions to the tax, the CFO and the auditor, Tom Ferry. They can give us detailed answers to those questions, and then what we would do is review those questions and then post them on the website, create a financial FAQ page for the residents to be able to go on that might have, you know, the concerns that everyone here has echoed time and time again, and provide you those answers. So I think it's a good idea. I don't know, Pat, if you have any feedback. I know it's just, I'm just throwing this out here today.
No, I think it's a good start, because I had the same question.
Right, so anybody on council can email me questions. Anybody on in the audience or any citizen could email me questions. My email address and my phone number is on the website. If you need to call me, if you don't have comfort level with email, you can call my house. What we'll do is we'll compile the questions. We'll probably have a preliminary finance meeting to review those questions, and then we'll provide the feedback. You know, I'd like to see this being done within the next month or so, depending on the volume of questions we get. And like I said, I'd like to keep the questions to about maybe 20 at max, because I don't want to have like 400 questions for people to go through, and I don't want to take Tom Ferry or the CFO's time to answer every question. But this would probably keep it on the website for fiscal year. And then maybe every fiscal year we revisit the questions, because some of them might not be pertinent any longer. So it's a good way to keep sort of the people engaged.
I have one question for Councilman on the Pocket Park, and I don't mean to put you on the spot, but do you have any feelings that this is going to go forward from the information that you have already?
I do. I think the property owners are looking to deal And they understand the situation. You know, the majority of council expressed the need to have a pocket park, and the citizenry seems to be in favor of it. The Business Improvement District is definitely behind it, and they're seeking grant funding. So, I would be surprised if it didn't go through. It just might take a little longer than we initially anticipated because of contamination.
Thank you. Okay, any other committee reports?
Go ahead. I'm the chairperson of the grant committee, and we had a meeting with just the council representatives to finalize our grant process guidelines, and we've created a document, and we're going to put that on the website hopefully within the next couple of weeks. And it's myself, Victor, and Councilman Valentine that are on the committee, and I've had a couple of citizens express an interest. And going forward, we're going to meet the fourth Wednesday of the month, and so the first open public meeting will be on Wednesday, April 28th. And if there is not a lot of, you know, citizen involvement, then we're probably going to go like Councilman Boyle is doing, with just corresponding via email, that sort of thing. But for the next few months, I'm definitely going to, you know, be here and see how it goes. We also have basically categorized major areas of grant findings, and we, you know, left a meeting where we're each going to tackle those so that we're all not just, you know, randomly looking, you know, for grants. So I'm going to be responsible for certain ones and so forth. And so we're going to hopefully, by the time we meet in April, have maybe some that we could approve or possibly, you know, go after. And in the meantime, we have approved a grant. We're working with the manager, Rich, and the engineer, Andrew Holt, on an environmental grant with American Water. So we've given our blessing on that, and hopefully we will move forward on that.
Thank you.
If I may, just to answer that, we submitted the application today. Acknowledge receipt.
Councilman?
Yes, two. The manager reported from the last meeting about the discussions with the bonding company and the progress we were making on that. And the Senior Citizens Committee. We received a letter yesterday from the Senior Services, Warren County Senior Services. Dave Gallant is the Warren County Emergency Service Coordinator, and he is available to senior groups to talk about the 211 information system and also to talk about how 911 works. So I asked Victor tonight if he would put that on the website, and we'll put that up. He said yes. Also, shared services, I'm not on that committee. However, in the governor's speech today, it was very interesting that he said that there would be rewards for towns that are sharing services and that are also looking into those shared services. So that is a promising thing.
Yes, it is. Okay, any other committee reports? We shall move on to new business. We have Resolution 68-2010, Resolution for Redemption of a Tax Certificate.
I will move Resolution 68-2010.
Second.
Okay, is there any discussion? Can I have a roll call, please?
Weaver?
Yes.
Council?
Yes.
Mary?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Valentine?
Yes.
Sorry,
Boyle. Yes. Resolution 69-2010, a resolution authorizing applying 2009 overpayment to 2010 taxes.
I move Resolution 69-2010.
Second.
Okay, is there any discussion on this? Can I have a roll call, please?
Boyle.
Yes.
Valentine.
Yes.
Donald.
Yes.
Leone.
Yes.
Adel.
Yes.
Yes.
And we have Resolution 71-2010, an assignment of a developer's agreement.
I move Resolution 71-2010.
Second.
Okay, is there any discussion on this?
This is basically Toll Brothers sold their rights to development to Jade Acquisition.
That's the way I understand it.
And all the conditions of the senior housing remain, and all the conditions from the planning board remain the same.
As it stands right now.
Nothing has changed.
Do you have any comments on that, Mr. Rice?
No. Is that it?
Okay.
You are Jade Acquisitions, right?
I am Jade.
That's what I thought.
The original guy.
Okay. Any other discussion? Roll call on this one, please.
Weber?
Abstain.
Handel?
Yes.
Leone?
Yes.
Donald?
Yes.
Valentine?
Yes.
Boyle?
Yes.
When you're done. Resolution 72, 2010, a resolution to defer local district school taxes.
I'll move it.
Second.
Okay. Is there any discussion?
Yeah, originally I had asked, I wasn't quite understanding the CFO's report, if we could just maybe elaborate on that, please.
So what this does is the schools are a fiscal year. We're a calendar year. So at any given time, we have funds from the prior year to be used to pay the school tax levy in the following year. We're always 6 months off. You know, we're supposed to, every municipality, I should say, is supposed to have at any given time the prior year's portion of the school taxes in order to make sure payment can be made. What this does is we're not deferring payment in any way, shape, or form. What it means is they call it deferred taxes because you're going from two different municipal budget years. You're going from 2009 calendar year to 2010 calendar year municipal budget, but you're still in the same school year budget. What this means is municipalities are permitted by law, and I know very few of them that don't do it, to, we have those obligations. We have to pay the school their tax levy. That's determined whatever their levy might be in April. We account for that in our budgeting process. So what we can do to increase our cash flow problem is, by law, we can take 50% of that, use it for our municipal budget, for our cash, and repay ourselves and in turn repay the school the subsequent calendar year. Every municipality that I know does it. It's a standard finance procedure. We're not taking money from one and paying from the other. It's not an interfund. It's a legally permissible use in order to assist us with our cash flow and any budgetary issues we may have. Because remember, we received taxes in 2009, we received the school budget in 2009 that we have to pay in 2010. So to assist municipal cash flow issues, you can use the deferred money from 09 to 2010 mm-hmm. without disrupting municipal operations or school operations.
So by doing that, according to the CFO, and his sentence here, it says that by passing this would allow us to lower the amount that would have to be raised in tax.
That's correct.
Where is the anticipated additional amount of $40,000 come from?
Based on
school taxes, how do they come with that number?
Based on the 2010 school budget year. That's based on the 2010 approved budget that's approved in April.
So they're anticipating the 2010-2011 budget.
Well, 2009. 2009 school year goes from September 09 to June 2010. That's where that number comes from.
Okay, all right. The
2009 school budget year,
okay.
Which goes into 2010. We did this last year, too.
Well, we might have, but we never had a CFO report last year either, so that's why I was raising the question.
Any other discussion? A roll call, please.
Boyle?
Yes.
Valentine?
Yes.
Donald?
Yes.
Leone?
Yes.
Albert?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, next we have 73-2010, a liquor license person-to-person transfer.
I'll move 73-2010.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, is there any discussion on this? Obviously, from the record you have in front of you, all of the appropriate background checks and everything have been done and satisfied. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? That brings us to vouchers.
Move we pay our bills.
Second.
Okay, is there any discussion?
I have one question.
Sure.
On page 17, with regards to the payment of the meals? I mean, is that a contractual thing that
yes.
we pay for meal
yes.
cooking?
Yes, it is.
I don't know about the con. You know, what's involved.
Not a problem. That's contractual.
Good question. And typically, the road department, when they do that, they eat pretty cheap. These.
Yeah, no, I was just going what
yeah.
things we pay for, you know.
Right. Okay, any other questions? A roll call, please.
Reba?
Yes, but I'm abstaining from pages 5 and 6 for the Spinelli engineering.
Hazel?
Yes.
Fiona?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Valentine?
Yes.
Ford?
Yes.
Recap, what do we have on your list?
You will get in touch with us regarding the mayor or mayor designee's attendance at the Arbor Day ceremony at the schools. Move forward with the application for Sustainable Jersey. Based on actually one of the comments that a resident made regarding refunding, I know our CFO is actually in the process of doing that, but I'll pass on his recommendations. Oh, I'm sorry. We'll pass on his recommendations to her as well. Hopefully, within the next month or two, we'll have the ordinance set for introduction for the sale of the surplus items.
Okay. Do you have any council remarks?
I.
Yeah, Mr. Boyle.
Me?
No. Me? We'll get him after the council
okay.
remarks.
Okay. Just quickly, Rich, if you could, in your letter, your manager's report, let the audience know about the DARE program. I'm not sure.
Sure.
If they do.
I don't have the dates in front of
it's,
me.
It's, well, I could have done
sure.
it. March 17th and concludes May 7th. According to the township chief of police, the DARE program will start in the borough. So that's tomorrow.
Okay.
All right.
Any comments?
Maybe Ms. Staples, would you know about, is there any activity about the pedophile free zone that the state had, we had issues with that, and they had the municipalities take them off the books because of civil rights and all that stuff. Is there any been developments lately?
I'm not aware of any. You mean the Supreme Court decision or the court decisions on that? Yeah, I'm not aware of any developments.
Okay. Thank you, Mayor.
Okay. Mrs. Sleva, do you have anything?
For the next meeting, I thought it was going to happen at this meeting, the amendment to the ordinance for the pool fees.
We have to wait 20 days after the notice was published. So it won't be eligible for any amendment until the 6th of next month.
Okay.
This is the first meeting.
Okay, and then also, thank you for putting the debt schedule up on the website. Can we get the year-to-date reports?
Sure. I do it at the first Friday of each month. I give you the prior, the year-to-date.
Right.
So you'll be getting it within the next week. What we do is we'll do all of January, all of February.
No, can we put them on the website?
Oh, can we put them on
yes.
the website? I don't see why not, if that's what...
We'll have to probably redesign the webpage because I don't want it to be so cluttered that I want it to be easy for people to figure out what information is there and how to, like, what's what. You know, because right now it started out very simple with, like, you know, budgets, audits. But now we're adding more and more documentation to the webpage. So, yeah, we could definitely do it, but we just probably have to tweak the page a little bit to make it a bit more...
That's fine.
Anything else, Mrs. Cleaver?
That's it.
Mr. Boyle remembered one other thing you wanted to comment
yeah,
on.
Sorry, Councilman, I just got to jump in here. Rich, prior to the birth of your baby, have you been able to attend the bid meetings on a regular basis?
No, I missed the first two this year.
Okay, are we planning on attending those?
I spoke with the mayor about it last week.
Oh, you did?
Yes.
And we're going to be there?
Yes.
We had a conversation and it's been worked out.
Thank you.
Valentine?
Mr. Ellen, just again, thanking all the people that come out to the meetings. It's really great to see you here. I hope it continues.
Mr. Cioni?
Yeah, just the open invitation again for questions, financial, otherwise, you know, reach out to me and then we'll see what we can put on the website.
Again, it's good to see the continued attendance from the public.
The only comment I wanted to make was, you know, I was very glad that the Sustainable Jersey was able to come out today. I'd like to thank the members of council for supporting going into this program. I think it'll be very valuable not only to the municipality but to our residents also. I first saw them down at the League Convention, New Jersey League of Municipalities Convention last November.
Councilman Valentine and I saw them in January, was it?
Yeah.
In January, we took and saw the presentation, and that's what led to them coming up here today. Mr. Kresser, you had something that you wanted to comment on?
Yes, I did, Mayor, and I'm sorry about that. I just kind of missed my chance. I was looking for the DPW Garage Committee. What's the status on that?
I reported on that tonight. The manager commented last week about the progress we're making with the bond council.
When did your meeting?
We had a meeting at right before the last
what was our council whatever meeting. Our last meeting was.
When did you have normal meetings like the other?
There's nothing scheduled right now because we're in flux because we're waiting for the bond council to make a decision on what they're going to do.
We sent them a letter right after our last meeting. We're waiting for their response. Their response will dictate when the next meeting is scheduled.
Okay, and will that, your meeting, will that be listed on the website so we all have ample time to go and look at that, or your next committee meeting or whatever?
That's up to the DPW. I'm not on the DPW committee. I mean, the DPW committee is more than welcome to, you know.
And who's chairing that?
I am.
Okay. Terry, I'm very interested in that committee, so.
Yeah. Joe, and this is for all the public, if you've never seen the current borough DPW garage?
I have.
Okay. I'd be happy to make arrangements to meet some people down there either on a Wednesday night or a Saturday and take people down for a little tour so you can see the, I think I'm being nice, deplorable conditions. Is that right?
Okay.
So it is bad. And they finally got rid of the rat that was about the size of a bobcat.
Mrs. Sloan, you had a comment or question?
I have a question on the lady that spoke this evening. It seemed to me that it may be a company that is working with the state. It seemed to me that the energy companies are funding.
I think I see where you're going, and yes, you're correct. The First Energy is one of the companies that is with it. EPI, I know she left some material in the back, and that will list many of the companies that are involved with it.
So she's just a beggar. I mean, sign up with me and that's what it seemed like. I'm sorry. I was very disappointed because it was just like, I'll give you $10 if you buy it on $3,000 air conditioner.
Well, you don't have to buy through that.
Oh, I know, but so. It was, to me, it was a bold-faced plea for use our companies now.
I'd like to address that. From having gone to that meeting before, that's not the case. If you buy those energy products wherever, you still are eligible for the rebates through the state. I mean, they're here letting people know what's available. I mean, sure, if you buy it through them, they'd like that. But if you buy somebody else that also has them and you're going to purchase them, you now have another access to get an additional rebate. Because sometimes companies, stores, and that offer these things will offer rebates on energy products. They're offering an additional rebate, from my understanding. It's not that they just want you to come and purchase their product. They're really out there to make sure people are aware of the fact that there are energy-efficient products that will help save you money when you purchase things and also give a rebate.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Mr. Feldman, you had something?
Sure, I have two questions. One, what status updates have you given on the RFP for forensic audit, if there is going to be any, or what you guys are doing about it? And number two, are you in fact introducing a budget on Monday?
Okay, the budget will be introduced at a special meeting Monday the 22nd. Okay, it is a requirement of the state of New Jersey that the budget be introduced before the end of March. It is not a finalized budget. We can still make any amendments, corrections, or anything like that to the budget after the introduction. It's just a simple introduction to ensure that we are in compliance with New Jersey state law. As far as the forensic audit goes, Mr. Fallon?
Sure. Well, if I may, just to dovetail off of that, the public hearing for the introduced budget is going to be the second meeting in April. Monday, the sole purpose of Monday is introducing it to be compliant with the state law
and if there's any additional aid out there, we have to introduce by statutory date in order to apply.
This is the first time in many, many years that it's been filed before the deadline.
To dovetail your second question, forensic audit. The last meeting that I spoke here, I presented council some numbers, and I was going to bring that up once all of council was completed speaking. The question becomes, being that our introduced budget is scheduled, a couple weeks ago council had received costs for this. I hadn't heard from anyone. I don't know what anyone wants to do. I need to know in order to budget for this as part of our budget.
Richard, you heard from me.
Let me clarify.
I'm someone.
I apologize. I haven't heard from everyone.
Okay.
I apologize. I haven't heard from every member of council. I need to find out what you want to do. Do I need to budget for this in our introduced budget?
You heard from me, too. I was hoping to get more quotes. More.
Well, keep in mind. Keep in mind. For budgetary purposes, you don't need quotes. That's what the RFP process is. Right. I'm waiting for a hard copy from the guy I spoke with. The bottom line is this. We needed a number, a ballpark number, for budgetary purposes. Now, that number can be negotiated down during the RFP process.
Mike, my answer to your, when you're reaching out for information is, I'm not going to say yay or nay until we actually see a hard number. No, no disrespect, but, you know, opinions of, I'm not voting on opinions of.
But the reality is you're never going to see a hard number until you go out for an RFP, and that's fine. But if council wants to go out for an actual formal RFP, I need to know in order to budget money. Because if we go out for an RFP and the numbers come in and we don't have money to pay for it, what do we do?
But we're not obligated once, if we go out for RFP, right, and whatever estimates come back, mm-hmm. we're not obligated to, I mean, we could still basically not go for it.
That's correct. You don't need funds in place to solicit proposals. We can solicit proposals this year to get numbers to go out and make it part of our budget next year. If you want to do it this year, we need to budget for 2010. That's what the purpose of my communications were.
Well, I guess, Michael, I'll offer your question. When you go out for RFPs, are you obligated then to
award?
Yeah, award that contract?
No.
So that's what he's asking.
Not at all.
It has nothing to do with next year's budget,
well,
the 2010 budget.
But the point is, if you're considering doing it this year, if we're introducing the budget Monday night, the 22nd, we have to have that. If you're planning on awarding a contract for an audit, we need the budget for
right.
that in
right.
that so March 22nd budget.
Right.
So
we understand that.
So what we would have to do prior to March 22nd is add a line item to the 2010 budget for, say, $100,000. Then go out for RFP and see what comes back, decide if it's well over $100,000 or well under $100,000, and then determine whether we keep that line item in the budget or we cancel it out. Correct?
You have to decide prior to adoption.
Of the
correct.
Formal budget.
That's correct.
Yeah, of course, yeah. But that could be 2 months away.
That's correct.
And by then we would have the RFP
correct.
Information back.
If the additional funds are included in our introduced budget, myself and the CFO will have to work between now and Monday to get to council an updated draft budget, because that will throw up all of our cap numbers.
Okay.
We're under our expenditure cap, we're over our levy cap. This will further exacerbate that.
And then where do we get the money for it?
You have to raise it in taxes.
So that means the tax rate of town goes up.
This will be about 2.5 cents.
Right, if it's awarded.
If it's awarded.
Question. May I?
No.
The RFP, though, wasn't that a request a while ago? I know you came back with that quotes, but isn't the RFP something that was requested a while ago?
There was,
against this line frame?
There was an RFP requested 2 years ago?
No, I understand what you're referring to. My personal feeling was I go out, I get an RFP, I get numbers. By then, the budget's adopted. I can't pay for it in 2010. It's cart before the horse. You need money to move forward with the project. If you don't move forward with the project, you don't have to spend the money.
Right, but council was asking for RFPs that weren't going to cost. We didn't have to award, but it was something concrete, so we know at least what it would be if it was to be budgeted.
I have something in writing, and I'm waiting for a formal proposal from this firm.
If
I have the unofficial, if you will. He sent me an email. This is the service of my fees. This is what you need to do.
Right.
I have a tangible number. I'm sorry. I was gonna say, I don't have the actual formal, hi, we're firm ABC. This is my official proposal. Okay. He gave me an unofficial number for budgetary purposes only.
Right. And it seems that would be what council is looking for?
At least a ballpark, yeah.
And I need a ballpark number in order to budget for it. Because once you introduce your budget, you can't go up.
Right.
You can only go down.
May I throw out just a suggestion, and you may have explored it. A full forensic is not the only necessary way to go. There might be other things that can be done. And I think you were mentioned at other meetings. I don't have the title in front of me, so I'm not an auditor. But there may be alternatives that may also solve the problem and not be as costly.
Well,
in 5 years was talked about, maybe 5 years is not necessary. I think the whole idea about going back and doing the audit was not necessarily to dig up old skeletons, but making sure we didn't repeat the same mistakes when we didn't know what the mistakes were.
All the mistakes from prior years have been identified by myself, the CFO, and auditor. If you look in the last several years' audits, which are on our website,
right,
these problems are identified. The problems are not happening anymore. The purpose of a forensic audit would be if council believes there's some criminal activity. Someone stole the money.
Mm-hmm.
Bad accounting is not criminal.
Right.
If council believes there's criminal activity and they direct me, I can increase the budget accordingly to move forward with the project.
So there's some alternatives then to the full forensic.
Every year we have an annual audit by law.
Mm-hmm.
Every single year.
Right.
Last year we actually had two, our standard audit and our comptroller's report.
Am I incorrect to understand that the last time that it was explained to us that when they do that audit, it's only like 3% of the audit?
I think it's about 10%, not 3%.
It's a snapshot.
Okay. All the financials are accurate. They go over the numbers. They don't look at every single purchase order.
Right.
You know, I mean, hundreds of thousands of dollars that are spent on any given month, they don't look at every single purchase order. They do a snapshot of purchase orders, but they look at all of the dollar amounts from start January 1 to end December 31.
By line item.
That's correct. That's what the annual financial report is that was just placed on the website.
Yes.
So what would the financials not show that the line orders would show?
What would the financials not show that...
What would the forensic audit show?
A forensic audit is solely designed to detect any criminal activity.
But it also goes through more than...
It'll go through 100% of everything. It'll go line by line through everything.
So what is the difference? Because like now the comptroller came in from the state, right?
Correct.
It was the state coming in.
That's correct.
So the forensic audit, I mean, wouldn't the state audit be just as thorough?
The state audit is a little more detailed. The state controller's office, rather, is a little more detailed than our annual registered municipal audit. They went into more detail. In their report from May of last year, they identified no criminal activity. That's what they identified as part of their report. Our annual audits identified all the issues we've been discussing over recent meetings, interfunds, things of that nature. Those are identified in previous year's audits.
The comptroller's report, does that have to be open to be public?
Nope, it's right on their website. Right on their website.
Yeah.
But we haven't had the next update from it.
Next update,
yeah. I have a copy of the comptroller's report, and you said everything was gone over, so there were 17 suggestions.
That's correct.
Corrections.
That's correct.
All 17 have been corrected.
I'm meeting with them Thursday. I'm looking at their... I actually called them, and I said, I want you to come back to show that we've made all these corrections.
Right.
They came back. They conducted a second audit. I spoke with them on the phone. I'm meeting with them on Thursday to go over their draft report. We have, and I'm not exactly sure the numbers, it was... Let's see, 17. There was 10 of them that have been 100% implemented. Don't hold me to the numbers. I'm just going by memory.
Okay.
Four of them were partially implemented because they're in the works, and three of them were not applicable because the one made reference to bids. But we haven't gone out to a bid yet,
mm-hmm.
So we can't put anything tangible in writing, but our purchasing and finance procedures are in writing that address that should we go forward again.
Mm-hmm.
So the short version of it is we've met all 17.
So it would be helpful, probably, then, are you going to post those responses to those?
Absolutely. Like I said, I'm meeting with them Thursday to go over it, to make sure everything's factual. And the auditor in charge I spoke with said he wants it up on their website, signed by the comptroller, within 15 days.
And talking to Tom Ferry, our auditor, after the last meeting, he said with a forensic audit, as long as the invoices match what's paid, they're not going to find anything. So if someone absconded with money by having a fake invoice from a company and it was paid by the borough, there would be no way of telling whether that was, well, was incorrect or not. But everything so far with the controller has said that everything matches.
That's correct.
That they've checked.
Okay, so Mr. Valentine, would you like to put the money in the budget for the for a forensic audit, $100,000?
If it doesn't affect the tax base.
Well, it has to.
I would have to increase the taxpayers' dollars by $100,000.
No.
For 2000. If I may. May I make a suggestion, just to give council another option? We can do a formal, sealed, official RFP process, and council can spend the next 6 months reviewing them and budget accordingly for 2011, should you choose.
I mean, we have enough issues right now with dealing with our tax rate here in this town. You know, if you're going to do an audit that's just going to show what the other two have done, I just don't feel a good conscience that I would want to use taxpayer money to do it.
Councilman Cioni?
That's tough. I mean, do I think the forensic audit would find anything criminal? No. Do I want my taxes to go up another 2.5 cents to pay for it? No. I would probably say that I'd be okay with putting it in the budget as a line item, but I would not be so sure that I would vote in the affirmative on that line item for the final budget.
So you'd like to see it in the line item?
At least to go out to RFPs, you know.
And then have the option to cut it out.
Correct.
As you go through the budgeting process.
Correct.
Councilman Housel.
I really don't think they're going to find anything. And I to raise the taxes another 2.5 cents when we're talking the increase that we're talking, I think it's irresponsible.
Okay. And Councilwoman Gleeby, your comments were?
I'm going to say with Vic, Councilman Cioni, have the option to cut it out.
Okay.
And this way we can get the different quotes to see exactly how much this forensic audit.
Okay.
Will cost.
Councilman Boyle?
I'm in the same light. When we get the proposals, there'll be a scope of services. So we're going to know exactly what they're going to be looking for and how deep can we go. So it's no problem looking at that and to determine, like, yeah, we might get a big bang for the buck or not. You know, to search it out, we heard from the residents. They spoke loudly about it a couple months ago and things of that nature. You know, we can prove other ways, too, with what we're trying to do here with communicating with the comptroller's reports and things of that nature. But I would support looking towards those RFPs to ensure that we are able to,
If I may clarify, though, looking towards RFPs with putting the money in the budget?
Well,
or
we don't have,
RFPs
right, it's just the step one. If you want to make it a line item, just to understand where we're going, I would support that.
And I would support putting it in as a line item with the option to cut at a later date. Mrs. Sloan, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
There's an elephant in this room, and that is the $27 million. Is that supposed to be the deficit?
The
debt of the borough, the schools, and the sewer.
Knock off the schools. That is what the problem is. We are not seeing clear of this huge debt. I don't care how you approach it, whether you analyze it by an audit or put it on a website. As a taxpayer, I want to know how it is being addressed. And I mean, I'll show up at every meeting until I comprehend how this huge responsibility is being addressed. That's it.
Okay. Thank you.
And will we call it an audit, or we call it responsibility, or whatever you... It's just like it's out there, and we are ignorant.
If I may?
Sure.
Just one point of clarification. As it stands now, we will have to go to Trenton for a waiver before we add this $100,000 in. Clearly, this will exacerbate that problem. Trenton may not allow us to apply for aid or may not allow us to adopt our budget as it is with this in here. I'm not saying it's a good or bad idea. I'm just letting you know the pros and cons of it. Because we have, if we did not have to go to Trenton for their approval for our budget, this is a non-issue.
Why would they not allow us to allot for that?
Because there's other reports that says there's no criminal activity.
Okay.
I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm just saying if we go forward with this, right now we are $245,000 over the state spending limit. The state levy limit. This will now make it $345,000 based on our preliminary budget. The state will make us use every dollar of our surplus before they approve our budget.
Right, yeah, that makes sense.
Okay, you have something else, Mr. Allen?
Anything
else you want to discuss?
Earlier, I don't remember, it was the end of last year, earlier this year, council had inquired as to what the cost for a ballot referendum in November would be regarding the county library system.
Versus our own library.
That's correct. The numbers were sent out. Again, it was approximately $10,000 for a special election, no cost for a general election. Does council want a question placed on the ballot regarding the library, us joining the county system? And if so, I need to know in order to notify the county, in order to have the question drafted and approved for the November ballot.
Well, I guess I would need to know exactly what that question is.
Of course.
How it will be written before.
Understood.
Before I
just need to know if I should start the process.
And also, again, I would have to know the question because do you, depending upon how the question is posed, what the results would show? Could we decide not to do it even though everyone said yes, we want it?
Council has the final say on the wording of the question itself. Once it's on the ballot, the voters will dictate the outcome. So if they say yes, you can't change your mind. Or if they say no, you can't change your mind. The reason I need to know sooner rather than later is I need to give the county library system a heads up that this body is considering placing this on a November ballot with, I'm assuming, a start date of 2011 so they can budget properly, so they can prepare properly. Remember, there's civil service issues that have to be dealt with. There's personnel issues that have to be dealt with by the county. All the employees would have to go to the county, and the county would have to get ready to take on an additional building, an additional service. We can't just wait till November and say, okay, we're ready to go. I need to give them time to prepare.
So I need to see the question.
No.
Well, we're going to form the question ourselves.
Right.
The question gets formed by this body, approved by the attorney, placed on the ballot.
What we're authorizing is just to go ahead with the formation of this question.
Meaning,
or not.
I'll let the county know this body has approved this to be placed on the ballot in November, say with a start date of January 11. So they can prepare properly in the event it's yes or in the event it's no. They have the budget as well.
What if we just wanted to seek public opinion, not actually move it to 2011?
You could put a question on the website and take a public opinion that way. I mean, the bottom line is, again, the council asked for the cost for a referendum. It's $10,000 for a special, which I don't recommend, because if we can do it for free in November, why spend $10,000? Now, whether the outcome of that question is, goes to the voters.
My question about this is the council aware, because I know as an individual member, I'm not, but are we aware of the pros and cons of doing this?
No, that's my next question.
In October of 2009, I sent council a detailed memo on just that. The bottom line is we have no say. It becomes a county building, a county service. They run it however they want. You lose all control.
Well, that's why back in October I asked if we could have that county person come and exactly go over the pros and cons. It's like a huge thing. You just can't.
Well, that's why I'm bringing it up now.
Go ahead and form this question. When I agree, back in October I had asked for the county to come and exactly tell us what are the pros of going there and what are the cons.
Rich, if I remember that report correctly, it was actually more expensive
for us to go with the county system?
I don't remember the memo in front of me, but the information on there came directly from the library director at the county.
We're just talking about the question for the ballot at this point. That's all.
Yeah.
I would say form the question.
Yeah, but wait a minute. In order to form the question, you have to know why the reasons you're putting it on, right?
The question, you know, with few exceptions, is do the voters of Washington Borough want the municipal library to become part of the library, county library system?
Right.
That's the short question.
Right, okay.
The pros and cons of that have to be debated amongst yourselves, whether or not you want to place it on the agenda or not. Yeah. Not the ballot.
This issue has been going back and forth in the borough for at least a dozen years.
Could we table this for the next meeting?
As to whether we should do it or not. The one thing that this referendum is going to do is it's going to decide once and for all,
right,
are we going to keep our library or are we going to go to the library system? The voters will decide. Whatever that is, it ends the conversation as to whether we should or we should not.
I agree, but how can even the voters decide if they don't have, that's what I mean, is the question really detailed where, you know, when you get those questions on the ballot, they have that explanation as to what the question is really saying.
This body can form it however you choose. I mean, I can call the county and see if they have copies of old sample questions. Every member of the county library had to have it passed via referendum. I can call and say, hey, can I see the last couple that passed and the wording of the questions to give you a sample?
If you form the question, then we can debate on that after.
I mean, I guess the purpose of my question is, obviously there's much discussion to go forward with the formation of the question.
Okay.
If this is something you want to do, I want to do the polite thing and give the county the proper notice.
I have a question. Scott, you don't have a copy of that report from October 2009, correct?
Not here. Right.
And John, you don't have a copy.
No.
So before we make a decision, doesn't it make sense that council should have a copy of that report and review it?
We have it.
I mean, I don't think we can decide to even put this.
We received it. It was in one of the weekly reports, and it was just a tiny little.
It's a simple,
it was like a
conceptual.
That's why it wasn't enough information
right,
for me.
It was a conceptual plan. And I think we need to have a better, we have two council people that never saw it. So how can we make a decision tonight if two council people have never saw it?
I've seen it, I don't have it in front of me.
Right. But John apparently is not.
I don't remember. The only thing I remember is that that it wasn't going to cost more money.
It was going to save the borough money. It's going to save the borough money because we no longer have to budget any costs associated with the library. The county will raise that in their county library tax, which this body has no say in.
And that's going to be part of the question that we form. It's going to say it costs us X amount of dollars to keep our own library. It will cost us X amount of dollars to join the county system. You know, that's going to have to be part of the question, at least as far as I'm concerned.
And the county system was more expensive than it is costing us right now in taxpayer dollars.
Can I make a suggestion? Why don't I contact the county, let them know you're seriously considering it, check the availability at Councilwoman Gleaver's request of the county library director to have them come here, along with our library director, to explain the pros and cons. This way, I mean, it doesn't change the fact that we can do both things at once. Worst case, I waste my time getting the question formatted, and then you guys say no, that's not the end of the world. What I'm saying is, we can work on the question. I can see if the county will make themselves available to come in. I don't know if they will or they won't. Last time I asked them, they said they would do their best.
Okay. Or we can go there.
There's that option, too.
You'll do a field trip?
Take the two-prong approach, then.
Yeah.
And if you want, I can resend the information. Because the information in my October 2009 memo was directly from the county. I spoke with her, and that was verbatim right from her. There's really, conceptually, it's a simple concept. Does this body want to relieve itself of all the authority associated with the library and not have to raise the costs associated with as part of the municipal budget, or not, or stay the status quo? Because based on the previous decision tonight for the additional $100,000, this governing body at a workshop that we're going to have to schedule soon is going to have to make some very, very serious decisions because we can't keep operating the same level now plus another $100,000 and survive.
Rich, but right now you just asked about making up the question.
That's correct.
We'll have those conversations.
Absolutely. It's all related, but
understand.
So, and just to clarify, in tandem work on a draft question, notify the county of our possible placement of this on the ballot in November, see their availability, speak before council. Correct?
Fine. Okay. Everybody agreeable to that?
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Do you have anything else?
No, that's it, Mayor.
Okay. We do have a need for an executive session, so I would suggest that we take maybe a 10-minute break and then come back for Resolution 70-2010.
Mm-hmm. That's just 5 minutes.
Let's just go
through. Well, we don't even need to take it.
We say that, but I think that the executive session is going to be more than 10 minutes.
That's okay with me if we go right through.
Yeah, I'm fine with that, too.
I like this.
Okay, does somebody move Resolution 70-2010?
I'll move that resolution.
For which purpose?
I'm sorry. Contract negotiation.
Okay.
And there's a personnel issue also, is there not?
No, there's not.
Okay, I see you can check on the back of this one. Okay. Did we
second.
Have a second? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second. Okay, any discussion?
No.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any
abstentions? Jot these down.
Boy, you did a good job.
I'm going to email them to you tomorrow. They're my grant questions.
I would say pass it to you.
I'm going to email
them. Thank you.